Welcome to How Leaders Lead. I'm Kula Callahan, here to bring you another edition of Three More Questions with David Novak. David, it's so fun to be back recording with you. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Kula, and I'm looking forward to talking about our conversation that we had with Hal Rosenbluth, the chairman and CEO of New Ocean Health Solutions. This guy's a real innovative person and has a great background in the world of healthcare.
This conversation is witty and incredibly inspiring. So if you haven't given it a listen, definitely carve out time this week to listen to the full episode with Hal.
You know, one of the things that I write about in my new book, you know, How Leaders Learn, is the importance of learning from your upbringing and new environments. And one of the things I particularly loved about my conversation with Hal was how much he learned by working on a farm and being around farmers. And he really applied that to how he grew his businesses. And I thought that was very, very powerful.
I never knew there was so much about running a farm that you could apply to running a business. But like you said, Hal explains how those lessons certainly translate to the business world. And one of our questions is actually about that exact topic. So without further ado, let's get going.
All right. Fire away, Kula.
Question number one, Hal ended up becoming the CEO of his family business, Rosenbluth International, which is the world's third largest travel management company, and they've got offices all over the world. It was a $6 billion business, and he had to spread their cultural behaviors to employees and offices all over the world. Now, David, at one point at Yum Brands, you had 1.5 million employees across the world. What process did you use to ensure your cultural values were implemented across the globe?
Well, I think the first thing that a leader has to do is has to decide just how important is this. And one of the things that Hal talked about in the podcast was how he really sort of transformed his own thinking from being just a results-oriented person to someone who really felt that you need to really focus on your team members and make people a much higher priority. Once you get that in your bones, once you have that in your heart and your gut, and you know this is something that you want to do, I think you need to then work with your team to articulate the cultural values, the cultural behaviors that you know will drive results, and put them down on paper. And once you have those behaviors down, then I think you have to go through a cascading process. You're never going to drive a culture deep in your organization if you just don't do it by level, by level, by level. So you got to get your executive team aligned and say, are you in? You know, it's sort of like that old Alamo movie where you step across the line. Okay, they're aligned. Then you go to their direct reports. You get them aligned. Then you hold them accountable for taking their people through it. And you just cascade it all the way up the organization is the way how I like to talk about it. And then what we did at Yum, which was very powerful, is we had our behaviors that we thought were very important. And then we had training on those behaviors. Like one of the behaviors we really wanted to focus on was being accountable for what you do. So we had this training exercise called the accountability ladder, where you needed to move all the way from the bottom of the ladder, which was, I think, you're basically oblivious and take no responsibility for anything, all the way to the top where you basically own it. And we would train people and give them the right kind of experience and learning tools that would get them to come to the conclusion that says, hey, I need to be accountable. And when you train people on your behaviors and you do it at every level of the organization, then you have a common language that becomes a part of the way how you do business. And when you have that common language of your cultural behaviors, I guarantee you, you're going to start seeing results. And last but not least, once you see those behaviors, you have fun recognizing people for exhibiting those behaviors. And, you know, we did that in all kinds of fun ways at Yum Brands.
I love it. It was so interesting. A couple of days ago, I was telling a colleague about the work that we're doing at David Novak Leadership. And he said, well, Kula, you know, online leadership development courses are great. This app is a great idea. But how do you actually get people to put what they're learning into practice? And I explained to him that something you always say, no involvement, no commitment. So you've got to get your team aligned around the fact that these behaviors are going to be what drives those hard results. And then you essentially incentivize your team to start demonstrating those behaviors by recognizing the heck out of them. And so when you boil it down to those things, it really becomes fun, number one, and also a lot more simple to just make sure these behaviors are the things that are multiplied.
And it takes time, Kula, to get people involved. It takes time to get people aligned and realize why this is important to the company. It takes time to get people to buy in. That's why you have to make your culture your number one priority. And as I've talked on this show before, the very best companies in the world see culture as their number one competitive advantage. So they take the time to drive it deep. And that's what I think leaders have got to understand. But it starts with you as a leader. It starts with how committed are you to driving the culture, and how committed are you to get the principles and the behaviors down that you can cascade throughout your organization, because you know that's going to be the key to your results.
Question number two. As you mentioned earlier, David, an interesting fact about Hal is that he's a rancher. And in many scenarios, he applies learnings from the ranch to his business. He says, as a rancher, when you have a bad cow who's messing up the group, you got to get rid of that cow. Similarly, if you have a bad leader who's damaging the culture or poisoning the environment, you need to get rid of that person. David, my question to you is, how do you know when it's time for one of your leaders to move on, or if they just need a little bit of coaching to get back on track?
Well, cool to hear the coaching is the key word. You have to coach first. Once you coach somebody on what your expectations are and they don't deliver, that's when it's time to move on. But as a leader, you got to look yourself in the mirror and make sure that you've done the right kind of coaching. You know, in some situations, you have a really high talent person and they don't really understand that they're impacting people in such a negative way. And as smart as they are, they're kind of thick in some ways. With people like that, I've always thought that you got to hit them with a 2x4 and you got to make sure that they really understand what they're doing and that it's not acceptable. And once you give people that 2x4 and they don't get it, they're never going to get it. It's in the wood and they need to take that wood and go somewhere else. Next question.
Question number three. Hal says in the interview that safe is very dangerous right now. He believes that you need to be able to innovate, to look to the future, and then create that future within your organization. Because if you let the future create you, you're dead in the water. What would you say, David, to leaders who find it hard to implement change or innovation in their companies?
Well, let me tell you something. The first thing I'd say, it's possible. The second thing I'd say is read the book on Elon Musk, which I just read, by Walter Isaacson. And Elon Musk is a furniture breaker. He is an absolute disruptor. Now, I don't agree with some of his leadership tactics, but if you want to learn what it takes to really think through a category or think how you can really bring some real value to the marketplace, this guy does it. I mean, and he is a brilliant innovator, and he is the innovator of our time. So I would say, read that book. Read the book on Steve Jobs, another great innovator, and then do some pattern thinking and say, okay, what does Elon Musk do that I might be able to do in my organization to drive results? What does Steve Jobs do to make Apple what it was today? But seek out who the real innovators are. I mean, read the book on Ben Franklin. I mean, he was the innovator at his time. I mean, this guy's an amazing leader. But, you know, read and learn about the really true innovators, and then ask yourself, how can I do some of the things that they're doing in my organization in a way that's right for me and right for our organization? But that kind of pattern thinking will help you how to come up with innovation and also implement it. And you know what? The style of these leaders may not be your style. I can tell you, Elon Musk's style is not my style. But I read that book and I said, wow, I mean, this guy disrupted the automotive category. You know, this guy is going into space. This guy has bought Twitter and changing it into X and may make it a payment system someday. I mean, this guy is an amazing thinker and an amazing doer. And one thing that I will say, if you want to have innovation, you have to make it a priority, just like your culture. You know, one thing that I did at Yum is I ate so much food and worked on so much food with our R&D people. It was amazing. You know, I love creating new products with them, you know, sitting down and eating food with them and coming up with recipes and figuring out we can make things different and better. And I love taking people out in the marketplace and showing them what other people were doing. I always said our competition was really our greatest source of ideas in the restaurant business. And you can innovate a lot just by looking at what competition is doing and then saying, okay, how can we do something like that or better? And then know your customers. What's the biggest problems that occur most frequently? And then solve them with your innovation. And I guarantee you're going to be very successful.
Well, David, you answered that question with an exclamation point. And I know that it's going to inspire all of our listeners to drive innovation in their business.
It's going to make me do the same thing. I better start walking the talk for sure. And by the way, Kula, that's why we innovated with How Leaders Lead. That's why we now have a 2-minute leadership devotional that's free that you can go to, that's an app where you can get a great leadership insight to start your day every day. Because we knew the biggest problem people had was time. And so what we're trying to do is give them leadership development in under 2 minutes every single day. And that's by knowing what the issues are with our category. And that's how you disrupt a category.
If you haven't downloaded the How Leaders Lead app, by the way, go to the App Store and give it a download today. Like David said, it's 2 minutes a day of leadership wisdom that will inspire you to lead with confidence. And if you get your whole team using the app, it'll be a great way to create collaboration and this common language for how you can continue to make leadership development a daily habit. Well, that does it for our episode of Three More Questions. Thank you so much for tuning in to How Leaders Lead. We're on a mission to make the world a better place by developing better leaders. And if you carve out a little time with us each and every week, we'll help you build the confidence you need to lead well.
And coming up next on How Leaders Lead is Bill Budd, the President and Chief Operating Officer of Churchill Downs, just in time for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. And I'm in Louisville, Kentucky right now, getting ready to bring in my guests and show them the time of their life and hopefully put a bet on the winning horse.